So, we've been on. So it's like they were listening.
Yes, Pastor.
Yes.
They're listening.
And they got everything right. That's how it's supposed to be. You get it? All right, so we continue. The word works. Tell someone the word works. Cheer up, brethren. Yeah, the word works. I told someone, I said, if you're in the house of God for so long and you don't see the word working, check your heart. The parable of the sower, the potency of the seed was never in question. The different results was because of the different hearts. The potency of the seed was never in question. As to whether the seed could produce or not, was not a question. So sometimes when people have challenges and they leave church or they leave God, they are attacking the wrong thing. They're supposed to be checking themselves. So they're checking the heart on where the seed is falling, not the seed. Sometimes doubting God is the easiest option. And questioning God is the easiest option. Because they know God is not going to come down to defend himself, in a sense. So you can say what you want. But the key thing to be looking to, because of that parable of the sower, is to check your heart. And Jesus Christ talked about, for example, all right, on Sunday I was talking about people who had, you know, who were getting into anxiety and depression and panic attacks, and I was giving them a solution. For example, a certain way some people think it's quite a long stretch to get rid of some certain movies. Well, I got some questions, so I'll address those questions quickly. So someone asked me, said, Pastor, does it mean Christians should not watch movies? I said, then you didn't hear me. Do you know what the Bible says? So whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just. You know, we are not, listen, we are God's people, we are not allowed to watch everything. Sometimes, not because it's a sin, you know, because the question of sin is too far. Like in a 101 relationship seminars, you definitely get people who ask, Pastor, is it wrong to kiss? People are asking, how close can I get to the cliff and not fall off? See, their focus is wrong. They're not focusing on the right thing. The question is the problem. So Jesus Christ will ask the Pharisees, why do these thoughts arise in your hearts? So, am I saying you're never supposed to watch a movie? You know, when you read Romans chapter 12, let's go there. I'll read from verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Then he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then he says that you may be able to prove. Now that word, that statement there, makes all the difference. Said that you may be able to prove. The word prove there actually means that you may be able to allow and disallow. So he says that when you receive the word of God, as a Christian, you now start having, you know, you now start having a responsibility to allow certain things into your heart and disallow certain things. So there are certain movies, the moment you start watching them, no matter how interesting they are, if you are truly understanding what I'm teaching, you have to quickly stop them. For example, somebody say, what in the blue hell is a Christian doing with a horror movie? Oh, it won't do me anything. No, the devil's going to use those images against you later. I remember when we were kids, you watch a horror movie, then in the night you cannot sleep. Who sent you? You see, fear encourages the devil just as faith encourages God. Sometimes the devil gives you images, and he'll never be able to give you those images until he gives you those images through movies. He gives you those images. You can keep those images for 5 years, but what you are doing is you are creating the reality. So the devil is using you against you. So I told the person, I said, my lady, I'm not saying don't watch movies. I said, but for example, I can watch a movie now. Even though it's not every kind of movie I'll watch, but I can watch. One, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. Number two, in a whole year, I can watch like 3 movies in a whole year. Some can't believe it. Like, what will you be doing? So, like in the watching the movies, there are some people, huh? They will sit behind Kumawood like this, morning to evening. Oh, that is my happy place. You've not yet caught this thing. Let me tell you, when you keep doing that, your spirit is not important to you. Your spirit is not important to you. You don't realize. I remember meeting one mate of mine at the airport one time, and he was trying to talk to me. You know, I was telling him, so my church is here, it's here. We're talking. I was like, oh, he's now here, you know. Many years we've not met. We met at the airport. So we're talking and, you know, talking about, yeah. So I wanted to preach to him. So once I started, he said, oh, he's a Christian. And I asked him, does he go to church? He said, oh, not really. And that, oh, church. I'm like, do you know the reason for church? Then we started talking. He said, I asked him, do you know about spiritual growth? He said, spiritual growth? What's spiritual growth? I mean, he does not have an idea what spiritual growth is. And there are many Christians like that. They don't have an idea of what spiritual growth is. To them, they are born again. They're born in a Christian family. All right, coming to a church that there are other people that are, oh, nice people. Like, right, Sunday I go to church. But they don't understand the place of the Word of God in their lives. They don't understand, you know, what the Word of God is supposed to be doing in their lives. And if they're supposed to be growing, and they don't even know they're supposed to be growing. You watch your spirit. Just the same way many of you are watching your bodies. It's like, if a small thing comes on your chin, like, what's this? What's this? What's this? Because you want to look flawless. Am I talking to somebody here? You just want to look flawless. Because you want your skin to skin. And when you stand in front of a mirror, you know. So last Sunday, when I finished preaching, one of my daughters came to see me. She was like, oh, this message is for me. And she said she had a conversation with someone, and she said, oh, I mean, you know, she was going through something, so she was in a hiding phase. I told her, I said, of course, she's somebody that I can tell. I can mention her and tell her, I can call her out on it and say, I tell her, young lady, the world is still in you. Where did you get that language from? Is it from the Bible? You see, that's how to tell if the world is still in you. Is because you can tell if the world is still in you when the world comes out of you. If you keep using words like trigger. Oh, that's my trigger. You are using the language of the world. Nothing triggers us. We trigger things. Am I talking to somebody here? Nothing triggers us. If something tries to trigger me, I won't trigger it. Are you listening to me? The word of God is all powerful. Something tries to trigger me, I will untrigger it. All right. What if something triggers me to act in a way that the Bible does not mention? So I'm going to react. I'm going to react. Share our brethren.
Yes.
Keep the word inside you. That's the first phase. You need to keep the word inside you. So the Christian or someone who's going through something, going through a phase, who's supposed to be stocking the word of God inside him, is watching movies. He's not ready to come out. He's not ready to come out. He has no plans to come out of it. He thinks he wants to. He doesn't. You see, when, for example, someone comes to see me about something, you know, and a person is talking and I'm looking for God's word in my spirit for the person and that's not available, I have to give it some time because I want to give him what God thinks on it. Because what people do is, you see, what people do is, someone came to see you talking about, oh, this is what happened, this is what happened, my mom said this, my mom said that, and so this is what I'm going through. Then you just hold the person and say, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine is not the word of God. I'm sending you light and love. You look, I told you about winning the private battles. I'm helping you. So you're going to be fine. You don't worry. Things will be okay. Don't worry. Don't worry. There shall be light. Where? At the end of the tunnel. You're going to be fine. It's not the word of God. Let me tell you what the word of God is. In a situation like that, it's an unpleasant situation. Okay, for example, I'm having a conversation with my friend. He's a pastor. But he has a, you know, like, for example, in structure, you know, in church structure, you could have one staff you're reporting to or one leader ahead of you. So he calls me and tells me, he says, man of God, tell me objectively, be honest. You know, this person did this. She's doing this to me. You know, that person ahead of her, of him, that person ahead of him does not do anything. Rather takes his results and presents. And everybody thinks that she's the one doing it. And it gets my friend so angry. And he's going about what he's doing, going about his work. And this leader ahead of him sometimes acts in a certain way. Like, stop what you are doing. I'm having a meeting. And he's thinking, why? So he asks me, what are you going to do? Well, I've been through that before. When he started talking to me, I'm sure, I don't know what he was expecting, but I'm sure he was expecting me to say, My friend, Bonham. No, you say Bonham, you understand? Bonham. Oh, it's pigeon. Pigeon means leave it. Okay. Go ahead and do what God has put in your heart. That's not the word of God. This is what I told him. I said, in as much as I understand you, but she's an authority. You can't win with God being defiant of authority, no matter what is going on. Talk about triggers, talk about traumas. I think the most traumatic experience of life, we should be talking about David under Saul. He was running for 13 good years. Do you know, that's trauma pro max. You understand? You can't even get out of the cave. Come on. Are you here? You're going home. You step out, you're wondering, is Saul around? Is Saul sending someone to kill me? Are you getting it? But in all those times, you see, those times were the times David wrote the Psalms you're reading today. One time he was in the cave and he wrote Psalm 34. Let's read David's mind in Psalm 34. He was in the cave and all these things were going on and he began to write Psalm 34. Let's look at Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, oh. This is not talking about poor man like he doesn't have money, no. He had been in too many challenges. He felt so weak. He said, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Many years ago, I got into some trouble. It was the scripture I used. This poor man cried, and he heard him and delivered him from all his troubles. You see, David's situation brought me a scripture many years after. Thousands of years after. Continue. The angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him and delivered them. Oh, taste and see, come on, that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there's no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Oh, hallelujah. He said, come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desired life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry. Hallelujah. So, thank you. So, give premium to the word. Focus on the word of God in your life, especially when you have a situation. I told the person, I said, if you think you are, and those kind of things, you can't lie to yourself. You can't lie to yourself. If you think you are in a place where you can go ahead and watch any rubbish, go ahead. After all, the problem always is with the seed. It's with the soil, not the seed. God's word is immaculate. We need to check our hearts. Then another person sent me a question. He said, Pastor, you said that when there's a situation and we cry. He said, Pastor, are you saying we should not cry? And of course, you know, it's a sister, so. Sometimes they cry unprovoked, like nothing is wrong, they start crying. Yeah. So I understand what she was saying. And I said, well, you cannot understand a man of God's message. You cannot understand everything in one message. You need to know me and understand that through the years, There are times I've even recommended tears in prayer. So I'm not against crying. But there was, in context, I was talking about this. For example, let's say there's a situation. You know, there's a hopeless cry.
I don't know what has happened to me. I don't know what has happened. I don't know.
You know, hopeless cry. Faithless cry. Faithless cry. That's what I'm talking about. God doesn't want that. Rather, something hits you, even if you cry. You cry because something hits you. When you're done, stand up and walk in the word. Like Jesus did when he went to the tomb of Lazarus. Bible says, and Jesus wept. People said, oh, how he loved him. When Bible says, Jesus was moved, deeply moved. The Bible says he was deeply moved when he walked to Lazarus. He said, Lazarus, come out. You see, there's a cry where you were hit by the thing. Then you stand up in that anger to change the situation. That's what Jesus wants. That's what God wants. It's not, the issue is not the tears coming out of your eyes. It's what's behind it, the unbelief behind it. That's what God doesn't want. He doesn't want unbelief. Now, like I said, last week I said, it's not a matter of, okay. They said, Pastor said, I should not cry. Pastor said, You remember when we were kids? You know, when we were kids, your mother is beating you and you, Guinea. Keep quiet, I don't know. You know? No. That's not what we are talking about. We're not saying when something happens, pastor said first response is critical. I should not cry. No, I'm not talking about Odenshi. No. I'm talking about you put the word inside you so much when you are hit with something, the word comes out. You know, so I told my friend, I said, we cannot go against an authority. And I said, but let me tell you, the Bible says to everything there's a season. I said, it will pass. That day will pass. Sometimes you have a bad leader and God has not removed the bad leader from there. People think that it's only God giving when it's good. No. Sometimes you have a bad leader. And God gave you the leader. That bad leader. What? Very soon. I don't know when exactly I'm going to do it, but I'll be teaching something. Dealing with tough bosses. You know, because there are many people here who have left their jobs because they had top bosses. They thought that was not God's plan for their life. No, that place, God put you there. You are shocked. You are shocked. The thing is all beautiful when it's from God. No. You need to read your Bible more. And know God. God can give you a tough boss. You're wondering, what did I do to deserve this kind of boss? I told my friend, I said, no. You see, at that time I could have, you know, don't worry, it will be fine. No. I wanted to bring out the word of God to him. And that should be your aim, to be spiritually intelligent. To the extent that you have the word of God, when any situation comes, you are scanning. While the person is talking to you, you're not, you know, because some people just want, you know, pity party. Don't worry. Yeah, that's how life is. That's what they want. They just want a pity party and then they'll just be made to feel good and be pampered. And okay, there's a testimony a lady sent me. I'll read it for you. Pastor, I can really testify to what you shared today. She was referring to what I shared on Sunday. As I said, there was a time I was battling with OCD and also entered into depression. And there were times where I'd have what seemed like panic attacks as a result of anxiety. Pastor, it got to me so much, it was affecting my relation with my parents and even other people. So one day I opened up to my dad. And Pastor, just like you said, I wasn't looking for an answer or solution. I just wanted to be pampered. So he counseled me, and the next day gave me many scriptures to meditate on. What a nice dad. You know, that's the kind of parent you have to be. You get it? You understand? Your child comes, Mommy, it's giving depression. You say, oh. You say, boy, sit down, boy, sit down, boy, sit down. You are going to you are going to recite Psalm 91 10 times tonight. It's giving the word of God, son. He says, he counseled me, and the next day gave me many scriptures to meditate on, prayer cards with words and some scriptures as well, which were for different times of the day, some for night, the morning, before a class, before an exam, literally every time in the day, and also a pledge I kept reciting to myself. I was resuming senior high school around that time, so I took all those materials with me to school and still kept using them any chance I got. So eventually, I came out of that place, and to be very honest, I never felt anything leaving my body. I never even realized exactly when the change happened. All I saw was one day, I was no longer in that place. Pastor, what you said is so true. It's not just about coming to church, because at that time, I wasn't in church, but the word still worked. Not to invalidate church attendance, but, and say, even then, I didn't understand the potency of the word as I do now, but I was just following the instruction and the word did work. Wow. Okay. Beautiful testimony, truly. Cheer up, brethren. Okay. I think you were the one I asked on Sunday, right? You were the one. You said you used to have panic attacks every day. Have you started doing what I asked you to do? Is this happening every day? No, no. What's your name again?
Huh? Anna.
Anna.
Yes, sir.
You said you used to have panic attacks every day.
Yes, sir, every day.
Every day?
Yes, sir.
So you started taking the tablets I gave you?
Yes, sir. And my leader too.
Your leader?
Some doses.
Your leader gave you some doses?
Yes.
Who's your leader?
Sir Frank.
You gave her some doses, eh? Which doses were those? Is it vaccine or? Eh? Message. I want to know the doses you gave her. You know, there are different doses. There is Panadol, there is a. Okay. So you've been on the doses?
Yes, sir.
And so it's been 3 days?
Yes, sir.
When did it stop?
Monday.
Monday, you noticed that there was no panic attack?
Yes. I never had anything on Monday, yesterday too, and today too. Everything is well.
Cheer up, brethren! Yeah. Now, that's not to say the devil will not try. So continue the medication. Sometimes people start medication and they feel like, I'm okay. You need to know more and know more and know more. All right, praise the Lord! So we are there. We are still on the priority of the word. So we're talking about the word works. The first one was the priority of the word. You know, I'll give you a bit of a history about writing. In way in the beginning of civilization, there was a way they used to write. It was called hieroglyphics. Calm down, it's nothing serious. Now, the Egyptians and the Assyrians had that way of writing. Now, when God wrote the law on the tablets of stones, God was actually mimicking hieroglyphics. Because in hieroglyphics, they kind of carve the writing into a surface, because at that time there were no books yet. So, and because that was a very difficult process, there were only a few skilled people who did it. And because there were only a few skilled people who did it, it was very expensive to do. So, not everything was written, because before hieroglyphics, how people used to preserve information was through oral tradition. They will say, God said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Then this one will pass it on and pass it on and pass it on. But there was a problem with oral tradition. By the time it got to the 10th generation, the information has changed. So this one said, God said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This one say, did you hear? He said that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want again. Then this one will tell this one, do you know what they told me? They said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want again tonight. By the time it's getting to the 10th generation, it's a different information totally. So then, the era of the cuneiforms came. I'm talking about the same thing. Hieroglyphics. If some of you have seen Egyptian pyramids, the way they wrote, that's hieroglyphics. Now, it was a very sure way of keeping information. Why? Because now, it was no longer oral tradition. They will get the person who can carve it. The person will put it there. So that means, since it's expensive, you cannot write everything. You only write what is most important. So, the concept of the writing of the Bible is the concept of, we are not writing everything God says. We are writing what's most important to God. So what you see as the word of God are God's most precious thoughts. Let's look at the book of Job, chapter 19, verse 23. He says, Job, now remember, some people don't know that the book of Job precedes Genesis, all right? That's side information. You can use it later. All that my words were written, were now written. All that they were printed in a book. The word printed in a book there actually means that they were carved. So he was actually talking about these Egyptian and Assyrian way of writing, which was the cuneiforms. He says, all that my words were now written, all that they were printed in a book. So Job is talking about how precious these words were. Okay. So, let's look at something. I'm going to read the New Living Translation of Job chapter 11. Someone say, God's word is priority. Okay. So, a man called Zophar is speaking to Job. I'll start from verse 5, New Living Translation. He says, if only God would speak. Hey, boy, Zophar said some very powerful things. Oh, if only God would speak. If only he would tell you what he thinks. You see, because Job was complaining. Then Zophar says to Job, he says, you're complaining? Do you want to hear what God will say? He said, if only God will speak. If only God will tell you what he thinks. Go ahead. If only he would tell you the secrets of wisdom, for true wisdom is not a simple matter. This is one point I expected you to say, He said, true wisdom is not a simple matter. You know, when people go about, you know, trying to question the existence of God. I'm sure some of you have seen a video of a young boy saying a lot, No, don't get angry with him. He's young. He's growing. No. There's a young boy who was, there's no God, because if there's God, why will he, how did he even put itself? Why will he create sin? Because he creating sin is like he's trapping us to sin. Then now he's now trying to forgive us. True wisdom is not a simple matter. If this question has ever gone through your mind, True wisdom is not a simple matter. Let me help you. Just in case this has gone through your mind. That's like telling your teacher, you want us to fail. That's why you give us possible answers. You are trapping us to fail. May God give you understanding. This one I've said, that is it. Your teacher gave you 1, 2, 3, 4 possible answers, but only one is correct. Is he not trapping you? He wants to get you to fail. Okay. Now, two mothers. Mother number one says, my children have never stolen my food. This one to say, me too. My children have never stolen my food. But madam number one, her children have never stolen her food because she has no food. Madam number two, my children have never stolen my food. They have food, but they've not stolen it. They are not the same. We don't know if mother number one's children will steal their food if their food is there. You can never have a relationship with your laptop. Why? Because you have the laptop. The laptop does not have you. Man is another robot if he doesn't have the choice to make to either follow God or not. If you think that God should have made us to only know good and follow good, you are not different from those who do for girls. You didn't give the girls opportunity to choose. I said true wisdom. You know, like people say, just use your common sense. Can you use common sense to do surgery? Should we give you a knife? Start with yourself. Common sense. True wisdom. When you see someone asking those foolish questions, you tell the person. No, don't just say that. You don't understand. Say, open Job chapter 11. Verse 6. He said, if only he would tell you the secrets of wisdom, for true wisdom is not a simple matter. Oh, boy. All right. He says, listen, God is doubtless punishing you far less than you deserve. Zophar, very violent guy. He said, can you solve the mysteries of God? He said, can you solve the mysteries of God? Can you discover everything about the Almighty? Come on, go ahead. Such knowledge is higher than the heavens. And who are you? It is deeper than the underworld. What do you know? Makora Basataya. It is broader than the earth and wider than the sea. Ladies and gentlemen, God is big. Don't box him in your common sense. You will need his word to know him. True wisdom. That's no matter. You see, that's why Job said in Job 23 verse 12, he said, I have esteemed thy words above my necessary food. See, that's I've made your word priority. That's why, you know, whatever happens in your life, you should always, first of all, be thinking of what does God have to say? Like, for example, you're starting a business, all right? Whether you are sure the Holy Spirit sent you or not, pray about it. You see, what did God say about the business? Because you need it throughout the business. So if God ever said to you that this business is going to go global and you believe that God spoke to you, even when you have down times in the business, you hold on to what God said. That's how to make the word of God priority.
Yes.
You see, you know, and in making the word of God priority, it's not just about studying it. It's also, you see, in active practice of it. Active practice of it. For example, you know, I told you about Esau and Jacob when I was talking about honor. You know, one of the people that really showed, you know, that he prioritized the word of God in his life was Joseph. Now, remember that Joseph became the prime minister of Egypt. And to be the prime minister of Egypt was like the second in command of the whole world. Because at that time, Egypt was world superpower. Egypt had food, the whole world did not have. So the whole world came to Egypt for food. So you know that that was not a small thing at all. That was a big thing. Joseph was prime minister of Egypt. But there was something about Joseph. He honored the word of God. You know, he made the word of God priority. The day Potiphar's wife came to, you know, hallelujah. See, the day Potiphar came to, you know, try to seduce him and, you know, all the stuff that Potiphar's wife wanted to do, you know, at that time there was no written law. But Joseph said, I cannot sin against God. Can you imagine? There was no written law. There was no Ten Commandments. But he said, I cannot do this against my master and I cannot sin against God. You see, at the time the woman was seducing him, he was thinking of God. May God give you understanding. Most men will tell you that at that point, God is the last thing to come to most men's mind. God, at that point, God. You see, you should have retained God in your thoughts to remember him at that point. My master, you know what this can have? You know what this can do for me? Not just having a nice time with your master's wife. It's probably not going to happen once or twice. And she's going to talk to the husband to promote you, to give you more opportunities. Because, you know, if Potiphar, he's a soldier, when he comes home in the night, the wife will put his hand around his head like this. I think you should make Joseph a big guy in the army. Okay. So Joseph probably must have been thinking of all these favors and opportunities that he's going to miss or lose. But he said, I cannot do this thing against God. And the same God that he was doing it again, the same God watched them put him in prison. The day he came out of prison, when Pharaoh told him the dream, and said, Pharaoh said, I heard that you can actually interpret dreams. He says, don't worry. He said, Pharaoh, it is not in me to give an answer to Pharaoh. He said, God will give. God? The God that put you in prison? See, God was in his thoughts. God was his priority. God was first in his life. Whether things were good or things were not, God was there. He retained God in his thoughts. Look at Psalm 10, verse 4. He said, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. God is not in all his thoughts. Something shocked me when I was studying the scriptures one time. Look at Genesis chapter 47. We are looking at the priority of the word. Genesis 47. Verse 6. He said, the land of Egypt is before thee in the best of the land. Make thy father and thy brethren to dwell in the land of Goshen. Let them dwell. And if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. Now, this is Pharaoh speaking. Pharaoh saying, Joseph, you know, just... He said, the land of Egypt is before thee in the best of the land. Make thy father and thy brethren to dwell. He said, give them nice places. Pharaoh just loved Joseph. This was favor. Pharaoh just loved Joseph. He said, guy. He said, the land of Egypt is before thee. You know, despite all that, Joseph still maintained his understanding of God and understanding of the word of God, like he had seen from his father. Look at verse 7. And Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Remember, Pharaoh is world superpower. When his father came, Joseph was a big guy. He's an influential and rich guy. He could have told his father, you know, here, you know, we are reigning here. He still remembered that his father Jacob was carrying the covenant. He still remembered that the old man is very powerful. The old man might not have money like me, but he's very powerful. Joseph still remembered that. Your father is not your brother. He still remembered that the old man is very powerful. Then he took the old man to Pharaoh. Come on, look at how much he believed in this thing that his father carried. That same chapter 47, he took, oh boy, that same chapter 47, he took his children to the old man. So he knows, even though I'm prime minister of Egypt, this thing, I can't do it. You can do it. It's talking to an old man. He knew the power of the old man. Look. Look at what Joseph did. Even in a place like this, that he was so revered, he took his father and said, Dad, let's go. He took him to Pharaoh. Pharaoh, as powerful as Pharaoh was, Joseph told Pharaoh, let this man pray for you. There's my father. Let him pray for you. You see that wisdom I have? He gave it to me. Let him pray for you. Ah, Pharaoh said, okay, he put his head. And the father of Joseph, not as rich and influential as Joseph, he lifted his hand to the God of heaven, who hears his prayer. He does not hear the prayer of Pharaoh, but he hears the prayer of Jacob. He blessed Pharaoh. There are some of you, you only revere your leader in church. If you met them among your friends, you behave as though that's your colleague. Hey, you're among, I'm giving you a very classic example. Because you see, you don't honor the word. The word is not priority in life. Like among your friends, your business friends, or maybe your friends, you went somewhere, maybe at the mall, you were 4 or 5 talking. Maybe those 4 friends are not in church with you. They don't understand anything about, you know, spiritual things. Then you saw your leader maybe buying something at the mall. Even in church, you would have gone and said, oh, Sister Catherine, please, let me help you. If it was in church, Sister Catherine, let me help you. But because you are with your friends, it's a different world for you. You met Sister Catherine now in the mall. Sister Catherine. Oh, Sister Catherine. You have to leave quickly. Now, when you meet Sister Catherine in church, they go, oh, Sister Catherine. Oh, no. You see, the same way you do Sister Catherine in church, do it outside. Do it. Let your friends see. Ah, why you go hold the woman in back? You put that your chest. You put the do that. Oh, sorry, man, like that. Make an open Bible give you. No, man, leader that. Leader that. Honor the word in private and in public. That's how to make the word of God priority. Joseph didn't say, ah, my servants are here, people are here. He went to bring the old man. Psalm 138, verse number 2. He said, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. You see, the word, even God has magnified his word above his name. So the word is priority. Make the word of God top thing in your life. When anything happens, be looking for the word of God's perspective. Ah, that boy broke my heart. God will finish and kill him. May God punish him. May God finish his life. May God destroy his generations. Listen, I never give you examples that don't exist, though. Every example I give you is something that has happened before. I know a lady who was a Christian, because she said her heart was broken. She said she would deal with a guy that she went to on the street and remove her dress and was, yeah, then holding egg. Ah! I was telling some of the, when we're having the partner's prayer today, listen, when it gets tough, I don't know how you go into the situation, first of all, but you got into it. It gets tough. Someone's trying to console you. I cannot. So, then you remember, I can do all things through Christ. I can handle it. Mm. No! Hallelujah. The priority of the word. Then we talked about the integrity of the word. Let me rush now. The integrity of the word. Let's look at some scriptures. You need the scriptures. Let's look at Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Making wise is simple. He said, the testimony of the Lord is sure. He says, the word of God is sure. Sure banker. You know sure banker?
Yes, sir.
Sure. They said the word, I am a culprit. This. Hey, the testimony of the Lord is sure. Let me tell you a story. You know, like I said, I was telling the partner, I said, I don't tell people when I'm dealing with something. There was a time, not too long ago, there was a time. I started noticing that I was forgetting too quickly. I just wrote this down. Next minute, I'm wondering what just happened. Why did I write this? I noticed it. Well, of course, I didn't let anybody know that was what was going on. But I'm like, what? What's going on? Okay, first I ignored it. I said, maybe just. Then one time, I'm preaching in church. I mentioned a scripture. Then I cannot remember what I'm supposed to be saying in church. This auditorium. In 2020. I was trying to remember. What just happened? So one time, I was preaching. So I was walking. I've mentioned the scripture. I'm walking. I'm trying to remember what I'm supposed to say. I know this thing is getting serious. I said, no. Oh boy, as I'm saying it now, I feel like the power of God, and I feel like crying because I remember, I was trying to remember and I was in church. So maybe that day, when the brethren saw me walking like that, they thought, I've seen a vision. No, I've not seen a vision. I've forgotten what I'm supposed to say. Then I go back. Then I go back. I go into my room. I put this over here. And I'm, where is it? Why did I put this here? No, this is serious. Why did I put this here? Whew. I said, okay. I'm coming for you. Anytime I wake up in the morning, I say, I have a sound mind. I can remember everything. I have a sound mind. So when it happens, I say, I have a sound mind. I can remember everything. Then, I was now attacking it. Sometimes it will happen. Something like that should make you shake. I refuse to go for any checkup, nothing. I said, why did I write this? I said, I have a sound mind. I can remember everything. So when I forget, I'm talking to someone, I forget something, I tell the person, I will remember. Not I forgot, no, I will remember. So after a few minutes, I said, yes, I remembered. So I just kept acting the word until that disappeared. Yeah. Can you imagine? Then if it deteriorates further, you know what's going to happen? You'll be like an old man. Whether amnesia or what, I'll just come to church. I'm wondering, what am I doing here? Yeah. But the testimony of the Lord is sure.
Yeah.
I like what somebody said. You know, God told Jeremiah, he said, is my word not like a hammer? You see, the word is like a hammer. Have you ever been to a carpentry shop? It's not everything the hammer, they use it once. God's word is like a hammer. You hit, boom. It will be like it has not gone. You have to keep hammering. You have to keep hammering there. The situation will bow. Because the word is a hammer. Just keep there. Bah! Bah! Just keep hammering it morning, afternoon, and night. Morning, afternoon, and night. Hammering it. Keep hammering it. Thank you, Lord. You'll be with people and they'll be telling you, oh, this thing that you're going to, oh, it is called this. Don't name it for me. I have a sound mind. That's what I have. I don't have the name you are. Hey, come on. Can you shut up, please? Oh, the testimony of the Lord is sure. All right. Numbers 23, verse 19. The integrity of the word. God is not a man that he should lie, right? Neither the son of... You know, this scripture. There's a picture of me that I'm sure some of you have seen before has been circulated on my birthdays. I was very little and I was holding a mic. Right? With a big head, right? So, I was holding in a... This was the scripture I was reciting. You know those recitals? Yes, that were taught in school. This scripture. It's so amazing that those scriptures I learned at that age, I never forgot them. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said and shall he not do it? Has he spoken and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received a commandment to bless and he has blessed and I cannot reverse it. This scripture, that was my recitation for that day. I've not forgotten it from that time to now. God is not a man that he should lie. He's not the son of man that he should change his mind. He said, has he said and shall he not do it? Man tobra de lai. That means I can bank on the word of God. Has he said and shall he not do it? Has he spoken and shall he not make it good? The word is sure. Jeremiah chapter 1. Verse number 12. He said, then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. NIV. The Lord said to me, hey, you have seen correctly, for I'm watching to see that my word is fulfilled. God watches over his word to perform it. Are you listening to me? He watches over his word to perform it. So we can bank on the word because he watches over his word to perform it. God's word has integrity because of the integrity of the king. Are you listening?
Yes.
You enter that school.
Yes.
Are you listening? I just prophesied to somebody. You enter that school.
Yes.
You finish that course.
Yes.
Malakura masu pede. You finish paying the fees. Manto brade kabara basite. Leko brade basu pede kaya. Lebra sute kabalama. You get that office space. Yes. God's word is sure. It's sure. You get that contract.
Amen.
Yes, hold on to the word. Are you listening? Hold on to the word. His word has integrity. His word has integrity. You know, sometimes you can be in a particular industry doing a certain business, then God will take you away from that industry because you are too focused there. You think all money comes from there. He'll take you away from there. But then another season will come. God will say, I'm taking you back there. You are going back to do that oil business.
Yes.
And God will open the doors there. Yes. Because he has now trained you. Now, your hope is not in oil. Your hope is in the Lord. Yeah, your trust in the Lord. He's taking you back there. Go and do it now. And everything is going to respond to you as you are going. Yeah. Yeah. People say, oh, when people are, you are doing gold business, they will scam you. No, you can go with the power of the Holy Ghost. If God sends you there, nobody can scam you. Are you listening? God's word has integrity. His word has integrity. I like the word that the Spirit of God gave us at the partner's prayer. There's a word the Spirit of God gave us yesterday afternoon. Psalm 78, verse 4, in the Passion Translation. Psalm 78. Kala kora mande kabaya. Hey, these are things you hold on to. He said, we've heard true stories from our fathers about our heritage. We will continue to tell our children and not hide from the rising generation the great marvels of our God, his miracles and the power that have brought us all this far. Verse 5, he says, the story of Israel is a lesson in God's ways. The story of Pastor Enoch is a lesson in God's ways. Am I talking to somebody here? The story of Pastor Enoch. It's a lesson in God's way. That means people look at your story and say, oh, this is how God wants life to be. The story of Pastor Enoch is a lesson in God's ways. Manto Bradega. I'm mentioning my name. Make sure you mention your own name. The story of Pastor Enoch is a lesson in God's ways. Manto Breke Barazaba. You know, let me tell you something. There are some people who believe in prayer because of me. Because they've heard of my prayer stories in the past. The story of Pastor Enoch is a lesson in God's ways. Yeah, today. In fact, some have even exaggerated it. Some people said there's a park I used to pray, and that when you go there now, you see my footprints there. It's not true. Men and brethren, it's not true. But there's a park I used to pray. So that they remember. The story of Pastor Enoch, it's a lesson in God's ways. Are you sure you're here?
Yeah.
The story of Pastor Enoch is a lesson in God's ways. Put your name there. Malabasata. The story of Richmond is a lesson in God's ways. Yes. Whoa! The story of Gladys is a lesson in God's ways. The story of Dr. Obed is a lesson in God's ways. The story of Olga Kram is a lesson in God's ways. Hey! The story of Manuel is a lesson in God's ways. The story of Elliot is a lesson in God's ways. Mantola Brakasalo Mande. Lee Kalamasa, the story of Brian is a lesson in God's ways. It's a lesson in God's ways. That's how people learn God's ways. Am I talking to somebody here? People will look at you and they say, ah, we should have followed him all this while. The story of Pastor Enoch is a lesson in God's ways. Makala Mashita Laya. Aya, are you ready for another level of your life? Yay! Yeah. The story of Kobe is a lesson in God's ways. Nate, happy birthday. The story of Nate is a lesson in God's ways. So, this guy is committed to the house of God, and you know, we are not seeing anything. The story of that guy is a lesson in God's ways. He's going to win. Are you listening? That guy is going to win. And people will look and say, ah, the story of Amofa is a lesson in God's ways. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, my Father. Oof. It's a lesson in God's ways. It's a lesson in God's ways. Kora makabra so demene. You rise higher and higher. Le to kabrate skelida. Le kora man so predekaya. Le borabasa takaba. You go from victory to victory. Monte Calabashira Barada Sonde. Mora Macabrande de Basaya Mashea. You go from victory to victory. You go from triumph to triumph. Your story is a lesson in God's ways. The story of Francisca is a lesson in God's ways. It's a lesson in God's ways. See people telling your story of how you were faithful to God and how it turned out for you. The story of India is a lesson in God's ways. Shakobrande kausale kavana na na bashana na na. Le kora man sopre de bele 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 yakaba. The story of Kwame is a lesson in God's ways. Mantola bashika laba. The story of Efia is a lesson in God's ways. Mantakaya. The west. The. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh boy, I see the grace of God here. Mola bashala ba 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 ba, mashaba ba 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 ba, shala kabala bashala ba, sana mashala na ba. Ah yeah yeah, the story of William is a lesson in God's ways. It's a lesson in God's ways. The story of Conrad is a lesson in God's ways. It's a lesson. It's a lesson. It's a lesson. It's a lesson in God's ways. It's a lesson in God's ways. You will tell your story of how you overcame. The story of Caroline is a lesson in God's ways. The story of justice is a lesson in God's ways. Bola kora basila barabuka ba mendala babasha da 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 barabosi da 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 barababarabasha ekara da mashana na makobra dene besia baria dene bekaba. Oh, seven times he says in the book of Revelations, he that overcometh, he that overcometh, he that overcometh, he that overcometh. You are coming back with a testimony. You are coming back with a testimony.
Just like the man of God said, if you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. There's a testimony brewing. There's a testimony inside there. Mondala Baba, you are coming with a testimony of how the word worked. The story of Pastor Enoch is a lesson in God's way. Go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost.